It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what is going on? I want to welcome you to a very unique edition here of the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust. If you don't know me, I am Dan Bach. You should know me by now. I've been doing this podcast, for maybe about 8 months or so. But we're going to try something new and unique today on the podcast. Never done before, and hopefully we have some success with it, but definitely looking forward to it. It's called the Round Table Podcast. What we're doing is we are bringing in three other people into the podcast with me today, and they're definitely people who have already come on the show, who you've heard of, and some of the bigger names here in Daily Fantasy. So first off, we've got Christopher Prince. You might know him better as Beer Makers Fan out there in Michigan. How you doing, Chris?
Good, Dan. How you doing?
Awesome. Great to have you on once again. We've got Casey representing St. Louis. What's up, Casey?
Hey, how's it going, Dan?
Doing fabulous. And lastly, up there in frigid Minnesota, although I know it's not really been that bad of a winter up there as far as I know, Roto Kevin joins us on the podcast. What's up, Kev?
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Doing great. Now, before we got the pleasantries all out there, the first thing I have to do is talk to the biggest celebrity in Daily Fantasy, and that's Beer Makers Fan, because Beer, you know, you're all over the place. Like, you're on the back of magazines. You know, the other day I'm driving around listening to Jacksonville local sports talk radio, and they're like, a guy up in Detroit just won $240,000 playing Daily Fantasy. And of course they're referring to you. Has anybody like actually noticed you? Like, has some like fantasy nerd out there actually said, hey, I noticed you on the back of my fantasy baseball magazine? I want to know, like, has the celebrity status hit you at all?
Not really. I've had some people I've known from high school and different people, like at my dentist office, they noticed it, and just people that I know. No random people yet have said anything, so it's been kind of cool, but
yeah, I was going to say the dentist's office. I imagine they got plenty of magazines out there. They're like, is that the guy? Is that the guy? But, I mean, that's a pretty interesting thing because, like I say, I get a kick every time I hear that commercial because I know who they're referring to. But you've had just a ton of success in Daily Fantasy. You know, let's just – what's been the key to your success? I mean, there's so many things that go in to being a successful player, but you've had so much more than most people. What do you think that key has been?
I think it's the behind the scenes stuff. Just, you have to put in your time. You have to do the research. You have to spend, you can't just throw a lineup in and hope for the best. If you're going to do that, you might as well not even play. So, with baseball, it's studying batter pitcher matchups, the weather, the ballparks, day night, home away. I mean, you got to put in a few hours every day, I think, to be truly successful at it, like anything you want to do in life. So I think that's the biggest thing that's helped me, is just putting in the time and being dedicated to it.
Now, I've mentioned this on the show before, is, you know, the one thing that I know that there are certain players out there who I kind of refer to them as like the computer nerds, the ones who spit out the spreadsheets and basically give them their lineups for them. That's not you, is it? Because I obviously never met you in person. You know, we've talked several times, but you just don't seem like the guy who would rely on a spreadsheet to be putting his teams together. So tell me I'm not wrong in that assessment.
No, you're not wrong. I've dabbled in it, and people have told me they've created all these programs that do exactly that, spit a lineup out. And honestly, I wish I was smart enough to figure all that out. But I just kind of go off the old, you know, the numbers and the stats and look at box scores, watch the games, and pay close attention to that kind of stuff. But no, I don't do any of the spreadsheets or any of that kind of stuff.
Now, Roto Kevin, how about you? You seem a little more analytical. Now, I'm not calling you a computer nerd or anything like that, but are you one who relies on spreadsheets whatsoever, or are you another kind of gut player?
Varies on the sport. I mean, the sports I feel I know really well, call it baseball in this case. I think you glean a lot more just from watching games, knowing the box scores, following who's hot, who's not, and really kind of learning what the splits are. Something that I'm not as familiar with, but I've been doing well at, you know, something like hockey or basketball even. There I might get a little more into the nerdery, but by and large, it's you know, shooting from the hip and hoping for the best.
Now, you're one of the guys who, you know, help us out a little bit with the hockey content here on Roto Grinders. How has it been from your perspective? I mean, in terms of you know, doing some writing and then still being a player from a hockey side of things. I mean, do you ever feel bad, like, man, maybe I shouldn't include this guy in my picks today because, you know, I don't want him to come back and bite me. Has that ever kind of like hit you when you're writing these things?
Well, yeah, you know, it's kind of I mean, I feel guilty if I don't use the guys I recommend
mm-hmm.
In my own lineup because, you know, I write that typically midnight or so the night before. And then I, you know, start putting a team together and, you know, someone doesn't fit or
opinions change.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel a little guilty about that. I don't hold anything back, though. I don't think anyone's taking my picks to the bank anyway. So, I mean, if I run into someone using my same pair of defensemen, well, that is what it is. I'm not really hurt by that. But I don't hold anything back. Let the chips fall where they may.
Now, Casey, you're a big time player. You know, you're the one guy who, you know, beer is going to be, you know, we see him on the back of magazines for FanDuel. And can we call you the sports geek spokesman? Because I know that you still don't have any bitterness towards them, right?
I don't really want affiliation with them, to be honest with you. But
<I'm just joking. laughs>
if you want to call me the sports geek guy and that's how you want to remember me, I'm fine with that.
Well, the last time we talked, I asked you about your hoodie that you got from them or T-shirt or whatever the hell it was, and you said you were gonna do something with it. Did you find that thing? Like, come on, send it to me, and I'll you know, do something on the do a video podcast or something with it.
All I need is the address. It's yours.
Okay. Now, baseball season's coming up. What's your philosophy on baseball? Are you a spreadsheet guy? Are you a gut guy? Are you kind of a mix between the two? And the thing that I use a lot, too, are batter versus pitcher matchups. But there's kind of differing opinions on that. What's your feeling on that side of things, too?
I've debated this extensively with other people. I think that there is probably a such thing as overanalyzing things and taking into account stats that aren't really relevant, and I really think that can cloud your judgment. As far as spreadsheets are concerned, I can't even set up an Excel spreadsheet, much less make one that would be useful for daily fantasy purposes, so it sounds like I need to get Roto Kevin on the payroll. Maybe start Skyping in beer up there in Milwaukee as well.
Now, let me ask you, do you share picks with people? Because this is a big deal, and it bothers some people. It doesn't really bother me too much, but of course, we had this NFO over there on FanDuel who, you know, this kind of syndicate, maybe, as they like to call themselves. But you ever, I mean, do you consciously go out there and share information with people day to day?
Yes, I don't think it's all that much different than having a podcast or anything like that. There's a core group of people I trust their opinion on certain things. And I mean, it's just always nice to have another voice in your head when you're going through and making a lineup. So I definitely do use the opinion of others, but I wouldn't say that I flat out take other people's lineups and play them for money against others, because then what's the point, right?
Yeah, totally agree with you. Beer, question for you. You've worked your way up the leaderboard. You're up into the top five, I think, right about now here on Roto Grinders. And, you know, I just mentioned the kind of, you know, the syndicate, I guess, the Rudzias, the Omzies, you know, those guys who, you know, play the same lineups night in and night out. Now, you play a lot on FanDuel. You play a lot on many different sites. How often do you run into those guys? Do those guys avoid you? Do you avoid them? How does that work with the other totally highest ranked players?
It kind of go ebb and flows. We'll play each other for a while. We'll kind of take some time off. Generally, we all avoid each other, but if you're playing at a higher level game, there's only so many people playing 270s, 535s. Some people avoid me, others they'll take all the games they can get. So it's hard to say. Some guys go after me, some stay away. I do the same. Some guys I'm staying away from. Some guys, I'll grab their games every night.
Now let's talk about these 535s. I've seen them up there, and I kind of chuckle a little bit because it's like there's no way I'm going to get to the point where I'm playing a 535. But you throw them out there. You obviously have confidence in your game and your picks. How many of those get picked up? And would you say is there a dozen different people who play in those? Half a dozen? You know, give me an estimate in terms of the variety of players that will pick up a game of that magnitude.
It depends on the sport. Right now, basketball, I would say there's probably about six different people I end up playing per night. Football, there was a lot more. Baseball, I really haven't played at that level yet, so I'm not sure. This will probably be my first year throwing out 270s, 535s, but baseball and football definitely seem to have more people playing at bigger stakes. So hopefully there's, you know, at least a dozen people, get a little variety in. That's one of the things with people teaming up. I never cared, you know, you want to team up with somebody else. That's what you got to do to be successful or make money. That's what you got to do. The thing I don't like playing the same lineup 3, 4, 5 times a night. Now you're playing instead of a 535, you're playing, you know, 2, 3 grand against the same person. It just doesn't make sense for either side. You're eventually losing out to the rake. So, but looking forward to baseball, seeing if there's any high stakes players out there.
I'm sure that we'll see a lot more as the kind of season goes on, and certainly as, you know, the promotion of Daily Fantasy continues, and you know, the big windfall that you had. I did pretty well in the Daily Joust, Super Joust contest, and these things, and Head Chopper over there on Draft Day. I mean, these things really, I think, are going to help bring people into the industry. Now, Kevin, tell me, I mean, you're a guy who I know plays on quite a few different sites. Tell me what draws you in as a player, because there's so many different things to look at, I think, especially with all the new sites that seem to be popping up from a month-to-month basis, it seems. Tell me what attracts you to a daily fantasy site when it comes down to saying, hey, where do I want to put my money in?
You know, I work with the date many, marry few. I mean, it varies by the sport. Last baseball season is a great example. I struggled at FanDuel and Daily Joust, but I did really well at DraftStreet, so I concentrated my action there. But I mean, once I find pretty much my site for that sport, I'll stick with it. I'll still dabble elsewhere because a little bit of an action junkie, I guess. But in terms of what's going to pry me away and perhaps make me a regular somewhere else, I really like the micro buy-in mega pool tournaments, kind of like what Draft Day did, you know, at the end of football season where they had a 25K pool and for a $5 entry. And the tournament Head Chopper took down on the NBA. I mean, I think those are a lot of fun because it's, you know, like a lottery ticket. You throw in $5 and you could win a few grand. You got to beat out a couple thousand people to do it, so it's not easy. But I mean, that's a lot of fun, and that'll lure me from site to site. But by and large, I like to find whichever game for some reason caters to my style of play, and really pound that to try and maximize profitability.
And, you know, those things are great. And don't get me wrong, Draft Day did a phenomenal job with those tournaments. But, you know, did they lose money on them? You know, in the grand scheme of things, probably yes. And I know that's the kind of tough thing that these sites have to deal with in terms of making money to bringing in new customers. And it's kind of a trade-off. I give them credit for, you know, willing to have prize pools that big. But I know that, you know, that's a tough pill to swallow sometimes when you have to eat that much amount of money sometimes in an overlay. Now, Casey, tell me about your playing, you know, which sites you like to play at, and especially alluding to baseball season, like, does salary structure make a difference in terms of where you play? And, you know, we've got some new sites out there like Profanity, for example, who have not even dabbled in baseball. We don't even really know what to expect. You know, tell me about your decisions and where you're going to play.
I wouldn't say that I ever stick to one site. That's probably one of my biggest issues, is that I try to get action almost every night on almost every site, which can become an issue. I think I really need probably to work on the fact that if you're putting a lineup together and it just doesn't fit right and you can't seem to find something you like, just stop. I mean, there's eight other sites, you know, that you can go find something that you do like, and you will find a lineup you like somewhere. So I think that that's one thing all the players got to focus on is probably doing stuff like that. If you, if it just doesn't seem to be fitting, then move on.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the thing I've come into as well is where I go in like winning and losing streaks on particular sites. You know, there'll be a time where, you know, I can't win on draft day for like 3 days. So I'll just kind of like take a week for, take a week off over there and kind of give my try on Draft Zone or on Profanity or Buzz Draft or anywhere else and see if I can't kind of win on those things. And sometimes getting away from it can help you you know, kind of gaining that momentum once again. Now, Beer, you're known for your big championship win there in football, the biggest single prize that anybody has taken down. Still understand why you weren't in Vegas, but bitter that we weren't out there able to celebrate with you, but we understand the reason behind it. Now FanDuel comes out and is going to top it, $100,000 for baseball. Somebody like yourself, you play high stakes. You got one of the biggest bankrolls out there. How are you going to try and get into the finals? Because obviously that's going to be a huge goal of yours. How many entries are you planning to put in every week? Tell me your kind of your plan of strategy and getting into the championship in baseball.
Definitely looking forward to it. I'm glad they took it out to Vegas. Thought that was a great decision by FanDuel. Last year, that was a big event, but to not have a live event, like you've talked about on the podcast, kind of came and went without much fanfare. And these type of events need to be publicized, I think, so we can get, you know, the industry going and get it more in the mainstream. But I asked for baseball, probably attack it the same way I did football. You know, minimum of 5 a week, probably up to 10 a week. Depending on the week, but just going to give it my all. Glad to see they kind of restricted some of the stacking that's going to happen. I know that won a lot of the qualifiers last year, so to see that reduced will help a little bit. But just hoping it's, you know, hoping I can go after it and get out to Vegas, and maybe we can get that the beer we were supposed to have for football season.
I was going to say, you know, I mean, we were going to have a good old time. You know, I knew if you won, we were going to have a good old time out there. And not to say that your dad didn't tote the flag out there well, because he did. He was a fabulous man to be around. you know, obviously maybe this is something for us to look forward to. But obviously, Kevin, you know, you mentioned you like the like low entry, big profitability, you know, thousands of dollars. This obviously is as big as it comes. And then, I'm not sure if you caught the podcast, recently over when I was talking with Mark at Draft Street in their championship. Is this, is this something that you attack? Because I know a lot of people, daily fantasy players, some people look at it and just say, you know what? Odds aren't in my favor. You know, I'll take my $30 that I would have spent, you know, put it in three head-to-heads, and ultimately I'll probably become more profitable. So which side do you take? Are you willing to risk that, or do you not mess with it much?
$10 and a dream, Dan. I mean, head-to-head, three-man, five-man. I mean, that's where I make profit. I'm not really that good at the super large pools, but You gotta throw a couple teams in every week on something like that. I mean, $100,000, is that life changing? Not necessarily. It's certainly year changing or decade changing even. But I mean, that's some real jack. You can do some things with that.
Yeah, even if the odds aren't in your favor, you're right. You know, let's put it this way. You know, a scratch ticket that has $100,000 winning, I'll tell you what, your odds are way better in throwing a daily fantasy team in there. And Beer mentioned something about team stacking. Casey, where you come out on this? Are you a guy who uses this strategy, uses it by necessity, hates the strategy? What's your feeling on team stacking?
I mean, in the tournament fields, it makes sense to do it, but it kind of takes some of the fun out of it. I mean, if you're just going to take every guy from one lineup, but when you see, I don't know how many qualifiers were there for DFBC last year, 12 or something like that, and eight of them were on stacks. I mean, you can't avoid the strategy altogether, but I mean, it's not something that I would stack every team in the tournament. I'm going to at least field one team that is filled with the guys I think are the best that aren't on the same team.
And how many teams are you planning to play and, in the FanDuel Championship, or, you know, I mean, obviously, like I say, Draft Street just had their championship out. And I mean, that's just more money that we got to spend to get these big windfalls. So, I mean, do you have a set number each week that you're willing to spend on that?
I like to use my profit margin for that week. If I had a good week, then I'll probably put in more entries than if I didn't. I don't have a bankroll to play a set amount, but if I had a good week, I'd probably play up to 10 maybe, but I try to get at least two or three in there regardless of how successful I've been recently. So
now, Beer, it's interesting because when we first spoke, you mentioned that, you know, I'm not that good at football. Baseball's my best sport. And then you go on and win the football championship. And then basketball rolls around and you kind of are like, oh, woe's me. You know, I kind of know basketball. Give it a try. And let's face it, if you're throwing 535s out there, you got to be doing all right. Now we're back to baseball again. Has this changed? I mean, can you definitively say now, like, football is your best sport, or you're just going to have to kind of see how baseball goes this year? Are you feeling the confidence going into this season?
Yeah, I feel confident. Last year I was laying in the weeds for football, just laying low, trying to.
I love the drama that you bring, you know, get qualifying the last week on, like, the last play or whatever the hell it was.
No, but I'm pretty confident with baseball. I've kind of developed, without the use of spreadsheets, my own little system that I use. And I'm always, you know, working at trying to get it better. So, but at the same time, the competition gets better, too. So if you stay stagnant and try to use the same things that worked last year, they may not work this year. So always trying to get better. Definitely looking forward to these championships for sure. Again, great for the industry and obviously great for the pocketbook and the bankroll if you can hit something like that. So I'm just super excited. Baseball is finally here.
Well, I'm impressed with you with looking at, you know, your winnings. I mean, you win all across the board in terms of not just sports, but you play on a lot of different sites. You know, I mentioned it to the other guys. I'm kind of curious to get your take because you're a little higher stakes player. What goes into, you know, where you play night to night? Because, you know, it's a, like I say, you're spending some big bucks playing this daily fantasy, and I know a lot of these sites would love to get your action. How does that decision process go for you?
I try to give every new site a fair shot. I'll throw a good amount of money in there and play some different games and just try it out. All, you know, as many different sports, many different offerings that they have. And from there, I'll just kind of have my favorites. And like you said, though, you can get hot on some sites. You can go cold on others. So I'll take a break on some sites. I'll hit it harder on others while I'm hot. So it's you know, just giving every site a fair shot as they come in the industry and just keeping up with what they do, and hopefully they keep getting bigger, better, and kind of weed the weaker ones out and just give a lot of action all over the place.
Yeah, and I want to kind of like go through each of you here and tell me what you like about a site and something that you don't like about the site. And you know what? No feelings are going to be hurt. I mean, I think a lot of the site owners, I know most of them probably listen to the podcast and appreciate the feedback. So I'm not going to like point out what you like about this site or that site, but just tell me, Kevin, first off, you know, one thing you like about a site in particular and maybe an aspect of a site that you don't like.
Well, I'm going to go to the don't like first because it's been a thorn in my side for a while, and that's bad player pricing. And you can put that on a couple sites. I mean, FanDuel's kind of the poster child. Their pricing isn't really reactive. You can get the same bargain player every day for weeks at a time. I mean, Draft Day's got a bit of a problem with that. I mean, Goran Dragic has been like $9,000 since he took over.
Mm-hmm.
An efficient player pricing model is something I really look for. I think Draft Street does a fantastic job with that. If I'm going to call it a good boy, Draft Street and Daily Joust. But apart from that, I think I'm really impressed with every new site that comes on, just how much improvement you see in the user interfaces. FanDuel sort of started with now what looks like an archaic system. But everyone that comes out now, I mean, they've improved it a lot, don't get me wrong. But everyone that comes out now, it's smoother and smoother with more on-site research. I mean, I'm really impressed with how the industry's evolved on that front.
Totally agree with you. KC, what's your feeling? What do you like about some sites, and what's something you don't like about them?
I think my favorite site would probably have to be Sports Geek. really good customer service, quick payouts. I just keep going back there time and time again. No, all kidding aside, though, I really like it for the social aspect of the game, and I mentioned this last time I was on, and the FanDuel chat just became obnoxious, and they still haven't brought back private chat to my knowledge, have they?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. Do they have it there, Beer?
No, they don't.
No.
When that comes back, I'll go back to FanDuel chat. We'll stick at that.
I think you can hide the chat over there, but you like the chat.
So I want to talk to some people. I just don't want to talk to the majority of people that are on there, and that's really frustrating to me. But Daily Joust, excellent chat room if you're looking for a place to hang out for the evening. As far as a thorn in my side, Profanity Sports has this girl contest where you can submit the girl, and no one has done it. I'm really sick of looking at Lindsay. She's a real good-looking girl, but we need someone new. So anybody out there who wants to submit a picture, please, Casey is begging you to do so.
Well, here's the problem with that is if you – you know, I busted Sean's chops about that last time he was on the podcast, and he gave me that they're working on something, and I'm sure eventually they'll get to it. I know these sites have a lot of stuff going, but the thing it says is you know, send a picture of your wife or girlfriend in a sports kind of theme thing. You think any of our wives or girlfriends are going to let us take a picture and send it into our daily site? I mean, give me a break. That's not going to happen.
I've tried to pitch that multiple times to my significant other, and she's just not going for
it. She's not going for it.
Nah, she's not having it. So we're going to have to get something brewing here. We might have to hire outside help. I don't know.
I don't know about my wife, who's about 8.5 months pregnant, whether or not to, you know, snap a picture of her. I don't think that's going to work. Beer, your turn. Tell me some things you love about daily fantasy sites and something that, you know, is not your favorite thing about it.
Casey stole my answer.
I stole your world championship last year too, bud.
I love FanDuel. I love some of the stuff they do with their team, but that chat room has just gotten out of control. Even last baseball season, there people on there, you talk sports, it actually made sense. Now they're talking who knows what. So, I don't know if there's anything they can do about it is the problem. I mean, you can't ban everybody and freedom of speech and all that, but it's definitely gotten annoying. And again, Daily Joust chat room is, you know, you can go there, you can actually talk about the games and sports and the stuff we're there to do. But that would definitely be one of my biggest annoyances. As far as good, I think a lot of the sites have done well in developing new games, new products, new offerings. Draft Street and this new championship. Honestly, I think every site should have that in their sights to have some kind of championship for every big sport. So I'm glad they jumped on board and looking forward to jumping in on that too.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's something that more and more of these sites, I mean, the startup cost in running these sites is enormous. And I think, you know, obviously the more that survive and start building some capital and everything else, the more we're going to see these things. But obviously I agree. I think the more we see it, and that's where, let's face it, that's where a huge reason why FanDuel has the success that they had is that they were willing to throw these huge prize pools out. So, you know, the success that they have is probably one of the biggest reasons for that chat issue, because let's face it, you know, when you have as many users as they have, you kind of have a lowest common denominator type situation that shows up sometimes in that chat room, and it can be a tad bit frustrating. Last thing I want to hit up on, certainly appreciate all your guys' time. This has actually worked out way better than I thought it would, so thumbs up to you guys, is Rake. It's something that's obviously in Roto Grinders, we're all kind of big-time players in daily fantasy. How does Rake go into deciding where you play? Because to me, I kind of feel it's an overrated factor in the sense of a site can have really good Rake, but if the experience sucks or the payouts suck or there's not a lot of people playing, I'm not interested in playing there. Kevin, tell me your take on Rake.
you know, I think you got to take, you know, perspective of where the industry is. I mean, as you alluded to just a little bit ago, I mean, the startup costs are very high to develop these slick interfaces and gaming systems. I mean, the ongoing costs are high. I mean, there are people behind these, there are stat feeds. So I think, unfortunately, I mean, the rake is kind of where it needs to be. I mean, I've opined in the forums a couple times that I don't think any site right now is profitable. I mean, I think those with the highest volume, FanDuel, DraftStreet, are probably close, but no site owner is getting rich at this point. So, I mean, I think you've got to get a couple profitable players. You really need to reach sort of a market saturation point where there are no longer new players coming in to play the games, and it's really just sites trying to take business away from one another. I mean, that's the point where you'll start to see the competition on the pricing side, which in this game is the rake. So it is what it is, but I mean, I agree 100% with you that if the game itself is not a good experience, I don't care what the rake is. I'm not playing there.
Yeah, Casey, what's your feeling? I mean, if a site came out, because some people have talked about this on the chat, and I think it's bull crap, but if a site came out and had 5% rake, they've said, oh, they would take all the business away. If a site just came out of the blue, had 5% rake, do you automatically go running over there or not really? What's your feeling?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, obviously rake is a big deal because we're all in this to make money, but I'm not one of those players that's scratching out every dollar and penny that I make and tracking. I mean, you got to have some sort of general sense of knowledge, whether you're withdrawing money from these sites or depositing. So the rake isn't really a big thing in my eyes. I like equate it to probably like gas prices. Like if it's 7 cents more somewhere else, it's not going to prevent me from going there if it's on my side of the street, you know? So, I mean, that's what I really don't even take it into consideration at all. Like when Profanity was running no rake for a while, those are the kind of deals I'm probably looking towards. But as far as like how much action I'm going to play on that site, it's much more geared towards the player experience and how well I'm doing in terms of wins and losses than it is what percentage the site is taking from it.
I agree. Beer, here's your shot. Your shot talking about rake. I mean, you play the highest stakes. I know that some sites have cheaper rake for the higher stake games. Other ones actually are a tad bit more expensive, believe it or not. What's your feeling? Do you look at that when you throw those high dollar games out there?
A little bit, but I mean, at the end of the day, and this is a podcast, so I hope I can say this, but I think people like to bitch just a bitch sometimes. I mean, the rake is the rake. These companies have to operate. If they don't have money coming in, they can't stay functioning. It's a part of business. So if a company comes in, they got lower rake, but there's nobody to play, it doesn't matter. You can go over there and you can put all the games out there you want, but if nobody's playing you, you don't save any money. So, I mean, I don't see rake as an issue. I don't even really pay attention to it. And people say, oh, it's because you got a big bankroll, you don't care. Even when I was at a smaller bankroll, if it was 10%, 9%, 8%, it is what it is. It's the experience of the site. Is there people there that you enjoy playing? Do you enjoy the community? There's a lot more important factors to me, and rake would be way towards the bottom.
Wow. I'm glad that we're all in the same line of thought, and I'm sure that a lot of the site owners who might listen to this podcast will be happy to hear that, because I mean, the bottom line is, you know, nobody wants to see the rake go up, and I don't think that any of these sites at any point in time is going to make it any higher than where it's sitting right now. But I definitely don't think that, say, if DraftStreet dropped everything to 5%, all the people at FanDuel would go rushing over to their site, or if Daily Joust said, hey, we're going to cut it everything in half, everybody would run over there. I think that, like we said, the experience is half of the battle. And you're right. People underestimate the cost of running these things. I mean, advertising alone is a huge expense for these sites. And a lot of people don't account for that. Well, fellas, I don't want to take any more of your time, but I can't thank you enough for coming on and doing this roundtable podcast. It was absolutely great. I mean, it went better than I thought it would have. We'll have to do it again down the road. And thanks again for coming on the podcast and talking daily fantasy with us, guys.
And not a problem.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
I want to take a quick moment to say thank you to my good friends over there at DailyJoust.com. Of course, they've been the sponsor of this podcast since the first day it started. We appreciate their loyalty with that. And make sure you give them a chance to earn your daily fantasy business. The one thing that they've got that really differentiates themselves from the competition is the uniqueness of the games they have to offer. Whether it's the solo contests or the solo survivor tournament in the NBA, they also had the 50-50 survivor contest, which they brought over to the NBA. Very unique offerings. You don't find those anywhere else. And the other great thing that I really love about their site is the customization. Very few sites do you have the ability to actually customize your 50-50 contest to make them high cap, low cap. You decide how many people are in it. It's just the fact that you can create contests to your liking is what I really enjoy so much about their site. We got baseball starting up. They've got a free roll going on for the opening day. And, of course, tons of action going on. So make sure you check them out. They are a fabulous sponsor here of the podcast. They are DailyJoust.com. And with that, folks, that's going to wrap up the podcast today. If you were looking for your NBA analysis, well, guess what? You can go to our website, rotogrinders.com. I'm going ahead and doing the daily plays column for today on a Daily Joust. So if you want to get some picks that I was looking for, that's the best place to find it today. We kind of devoted this to the round table. And again, want to thank Roto Kevin, want to thank KC, want to thank Beer Makers Fan for taking the time coming on the podcast with the round table today. I thought it went great. Definitely, folks, please follow us on Twitter at Roto Grinders. That's where you find all the up-to-date information pertaining to daily fantasy and, of course, injuries that will take place, I'm sure, throughout the day. And, of course, please subscribe to this podcast right there on iTunes. Very simple to do. So till tomorrow, everybody, hope you have yourself a great night, and we will talk to you on Tuesday. See you, folks.